Hi, this is Mrs. Eichhorn. So good to be in touch with you. I hope you're enjoying your summer vacation. Tonight's little thoughts are Le'ilu Nishmas, my grandmother, Golda Rachel Bas Shraga Feivel. She was actually Nifteris today, and this should be a schos for an aliyah for her neshama. I'm just going to tell you a little bit about my grandmother. We grew up actually literally next door to them. Our houses were next to each other. We still like waved to each other through the windows on Friday night, and until I couldn't eat after candlelighting, I would have potato kugel at their house. And we were always running back and forth, and you know, we would go help them unload their groceries, and she would give us a dollar. And their house was always open to us and everyone else who needed a place to just go and be. They always had a loving and a kind word for everyone. My grandmother knew everyone and was always so friendly to everyone. And we always felt that unconditional love in their house. And they were literally our second home. I remember once one of my friends called me to go out, and they said, I can't because I don't have any money and I need money to go out. They said, well, why don't you just go to your grandparents? Because they were like our second parents living next door. And we really didn't take it for granted. We were very, very lucky growing up like that. And something that they really taught us, that I don't remember any time where they didn't use like soft and kind speech with us and always dealt with us with unconditional love. And speech is a very strong topic for the Bein HaMetzarim and especially the 9 days, because speech can draw us very close to people or it can push us further apart. We all know that even within our relationships with different people, we know how our speech plays out in our lives. So now just a short thought that ties into this on the Parsha. It says, Eila ha-dvarim asher dibir Moshe al b'nei Yisrael, I'll call Yisrael, ba-midbar barava mol sof bein paran uvein tafel, and it goes on. And in this pasuk, Moshe Rabbeinu, he's basically saying goodbye to Klal Yisrael, and he realizes his leadership is coming to an end. And before him, when Yaakov Avinu left this world, he gave his sons a bracha also. And his bracha took on the form of rebuke, of Musar, because Musar really is guiding your children in the proper way. And that's a bracha, is giving them like constructive criticism. And when criticism is given correctly and constructively, then it's the best help for a person. But it has to be sincere and it has to be given with love and sensitivity. A person has to know when they're giving Musar that not everyone can cope with getting Musar. And Moshe Rabbeinu, he took very great care in choosing his words of Musar, and he didn't say it straight out. He named places which alluded to the Averos that Klal Yisrael had done, just to be merames what they did and not tell them straight out what their Averos were. And that's something that we should have in mind, that even when we want to help people, we have to be careful that we don't make them, that we don't close the door to them and put them in a place where they won't want to come back to us. And I read a story about a boy that, and some of you may have heard a similar story, so I'm going to say it very quickly. And a boy who was, you know, he didn't, I'll redo the story. Until a few years ago, I didn't take anything very seriously. I had graduated from Yeshiva High School, and unlike most of my class, I didn't feel I had what it took to be a learner. I didn't want to go to college right away, and I thought I would get a job and have a good time before I would settle down. My parents were not very pleased with this decision, but at that point in my life, what my parents wanted was not terribly important to me. Regrettably, during this time, I fell in with a group of friends who were not observant. At first, I told myself, I'm not going to be like them, but this turned out to be very far from the truth. It ended up that Shabbos meant nothing, Kashrus meant nothing, and I lived my life in a haze, which even today I have trouble remembering. My parents were devastated. Maybe they didn't expect me to be the best of the best, but they certainly didn't expect this. As well as having destroyed my own life, I was on my way to destroying my family. Because of my bad influence I was having on my younger brothers, my father asked me to leave the house. When I moved out, I said some really cruel and spiteful things to my father. I can remember him standing silently at the door with my mother crying at his side. I realize now that what I had seen in them as a weakness was actually enormous strength. I had no contact with anyone in my family for almost a year. Deep inside, I missed them very much, but I foolishly thought that I would be viewed as weak if I contacted them. One morning, I was shocked to find my father waiting for me outside the apartment building I lived in. He looked at me with tired, worn eyes and asked if we could talk. Stubborn to the core, I only nodded, and we walked to a corner coffee shop where we sat down. He told me how much everyone missed me and how they felt so bad about what happened. While he was talking, tears began pouring from his eyes. He told me he wasn't there to lecture me. He just had one request. he wanted to drive with him that afternoon to Muncie, New York, and say one parak of Tehillim at the kever of a certain tzaddik with him. As far removed as I was from Yiddishkeit, I was still moved by his request. I told him I can't go that day, but I could go the next day, because I really had plans with these friends to go to Atlantic City that night, and I didn't want to cancel them. When I told him I couldn't go that day, he reached across the table, took my hand, and looked at me with his tear-streaked sad face. I felt my own eyes begin to water, and rather than have him see me cry, I agreed to meet him later that day. I made the necessary apologies to my friends, and later that day I met my father. We didn't talk much during the trip. I remember getting out of the car with him, walking over to one of the kfarim. He put some rocks on top, gave me a tehillim. We must have looked quite strange, my father in his long coat, a black hat on his head, and me with my leather bomber jacket and jeans. We didn't stay long. 10 minutes after we arrived, we were on our way back. The return trip was as quiet as the trip there. My father let me off at my apartment building, and I still recall the words he said to me as I got out of the car. He told me that no matter what may have happened between us, and no matter what may happen in the future, I was always going to be his son, and that he would always love me. I was emotionally moved by his words, but I was not experiencing the spiritual inspiration for which he may have been hoping. I shook my head at his words, and we parted company. The next morning, you probably guessed the end of the story by now. The next morning, I woke up to some shocking news. On the way back from Atlantic City, my friends were involved in a head-on collision with a tractor-trailer. There were no survivors. As I write this letter, I am overcome with emotion. Time passed, and I made a bris today for my first child. My father was tzaddik, and as he held my son on his lap, his eyes met mine, and we smiled. It was as if we finally had reached the end of a long journey. We have never talked to each other about that trip to Muncie, nor have I ever told them about the death of my friends. I just walked into their home that evening and was taken back with open arms and no questions asked. I don't think I'll ever understand what happened that day. I just know that sitting here late at night with my son in my arms, I will try and be the father to him that my father was to me. This letter, a testimony to the power of tshuva and the overwhelming love of a father for his son, can give us many messages, and everyone can take their own message from this story. Some people could learn that you can never close a door on a child. Another might say that there's always hope to inspire their return. Others will say no matter how far a child goes, the love that a parent has for that child endures. Someone could say a child's negative behavior can be because they're crying out for attention and love. But something that we all have to know, that if a father of flesh and blood can forgive his child due to his unending, unconditional love, how much more so Hashem waits patiently for our return. And I think, we're in the 9 days now. It's been a long year, and I think we're all very ready for the return. And with Hashem, we should all keep davening and hoping, and I would say have an easy fast, but I hope, Emes Hashem, that this Tisha B'Av will turn into a day of simcha and rejoicing, that none of us will have to fast, and we will all be using our words to bring us closer to Hashem and closer to each other, and we will all be, Emes Hashem, dancing to Yerushalayim. You should all have a beautiful week and a good Shabbos, and in case we are fasting, you should have an easy fast and a healthy and happy summer, and it's good to be in touch, and hopefully I'll see you all around. Take care. Bye-bye.